Hello everyone, my name's Alan. I'm the manager of East Cheshire Eye Society. I hope you already know about the Eye Society. We're here to help people with a visual impairment or sight loss. But if you want to know more, just get in touch and we're always happy to talk to people about how we might help them. I've actually called into the Talking Newspaper today to talk to Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
Now, you've probably never heard Sean's voice before, but he's actually responsible for helping to put the Talking Newspapers together on a regular basis in the background, doing all the technical things. So he's one of the people who brings the Talking Newspaper to you on a regular basis. We've actually come to talk together because the Eye Society will be 150 years old next year, and it's something we're trying to celebrate. And Sean has come up with some ideas, and one idea in particular, about how he might be able to support us. So, Sean, what's your idea?
Well, my idea is that next year I have entered and I will be running, fingers crossed, the Manchester Marathon in aid of East Cheshire Eye Society.
Oh, fantastic. And what's your connection with the Eye Society, Sean?
I retired 2 years ago and I was working as an accountant in a business based up in Burnley for the last 13 years. And when I retired that summer, I was looking for something to volunteer for and something to get more involved in my local community, having worked away for so long. And I was in the Macclesfield Library, which is a brilliant place, great service, always worth a look, both in person and online. And I saw the leaflet, or one of the leaflets, for the East Cheshire Eye Society, which I'd never heard of, but that really appealed to me. And that's because my mum had experienced visual impairment and complete sight loss, as well as other things like cancer and depression. And it was through her family and her friends and many organisations and many charities that supported her during those periods. And that's why it sort of rang bells to me. And also, my granddad had been a volunteer driver for a charity when he retired. So I was just like, actually, that seems like a good bunch of people to get in touch with.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, it's always good to know that there were those connections to people who are helping us. So what did you do then?
Well, I emailed in. And then this mysterious lady called Helen got in touch with me.
I think most people have heard of Helen.
Let's hope so. And she invited me down to the office for a bit of a chat to understand what I'd done previously and what I was interested in doing. And then very quickly went, I know the perfect thing for you. And the perfect thing for us was the weekly Macclesfield Crown Green Bowling
Course.
And I remember, Alan, you coming down and showing me the ropes. And I've got to say, I don't really know any more ropes since then, and I've been doing it 2 years.
I think you're being a bit modest there, Sean.
Well, there's no rule book, or no one's ever given me a rule book, but I mean, I'm still doing it today just because I really enjoy it. It's a good laugh, lovely group of people, and some lovely volunteers. And I think, like most of the people who go to it, it's one of the highlights of my week, and I look forward to it.
And is the bowling still open to other people to come along too?
Oh, absolutely. Both people who want to support it and people actively doing it. And we're getting sort of regularly at the moment 8 to 12 people, but yeah, we're open to more people, complete beginners,
yeah,
or anywhere in between that range.
And how do people get to the bowls?
A mixture. I do a bit of driving together with some other volunteer drivers. Some people bus it down, some people walk it in, various things, and some of us go for a coffee afterwards. So it's quite a social thing as well as the competitive bowling as well, as there is a competitive streak in quite a few of our people.
I heard there was a competition recently.
Yes, well, yeah, we brought the trophy down this week. So we play at least once a year. We go or they come to us. So we played Chester this year and last year, and we had a very good result. We were very, very happy. And it's just a nice day out, and you see a different group of people.
Yeah.
And it's interesting seeing how they do things for a different group of people, a different sort of visual impairment. So you always learn something and see different ways of doing things. So yeah, we're now trying walkie-talkies.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because I haven't got the loudest voice, so if I'm down the opposite end trying to shout up, you're 10 foot to the left or behind you or something, actually. And if someone's there, like they were this week, sanding some woodwork down, having a little walkie-talkie, might be useful.
Always good to take good ideas from people when you come across them.
Yeah.
You don't just do the bowls, though, do you, volunteering for the Eye Society?
Yeah, well, I started off doing that, and Helen explained to me at the beginning, look, I'm just going to get you to do something small, and then we'll build rather than get you to do loads, and then you'll get fed up and
yeah,
bugger off. And it's worked out like that. So Paul Chilton from Wimslow, that some of you might know, he also does the Wimslow Talking News.
Yeah.
He got me involved in driving on the monthly minibus trips, because Paul was the only person who could drive the minibus at the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a bit of an onerous task for him. Like, if he wasn't well, or if it was too much on the day, it'd be like, yeah, oh God, what are we going to do? So between me and him, we share it out. And they're great. We go to some places that I know and are old favourites, and there's quite a lot of places I've gone to I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And again, you meet new people, see new people.
Yeah.
And yeah, time for a brew and something
to eat. So give us an example.
We went to the Avro last year. That was great fun, seeing the airplanes. And we actually had some people who used to work there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, if you've got any other interests, you know, let us know.
And you said about Paul was the only driver. You're driving now, there might be a couple of other people, but do the Ice Society still need more drivers?
Yeah, definitely. I was just talking to Helen about that. It's, you know, anytime I'm off on the bowls, it's always a bit like, who else can do it? And we've got one or two backups, but it would definitely help us have a few more.
Yeah.
And there's other transport demands as well. You know, people, I know I've taken the odd person to a hospital visit.
Yeah.
So just having a bit more flexibility would be greatly appreciated.
Fantastic. And we've not even got around to talking about the running you're going to do yet, but there's so much interesting stuff here. So I mentioned you've been involved with the Talking Newspaper. How did that happen? How did you get involved with them?
That was Paul again. Because I was like,
okay,
so Paul, what else do you do? And he was like, well, I do the Talking Newspaper for Wimslow. And he was like, I bet you they'll bite your arm off. and they did. So much so, I've now roped in my wife, Sarah, who's actually doing the recording here today as well.
It's a family affair.
So, yeah, and yeah, I like it. You're interacting with people, meeting a new set of people, doing something worthwhile, and brushing up a few technical skills I never knew I had.
Yeah.
And yeah, Sarah loves it as well, so it's a winner.
And it's a good, fun team from what I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. It is.
Great stuff. And I know you've done a little bit of fundraising for us before. You'd been swimming, I think, haven't you, at some point?
Yeah, I wanted to do the swimathon last year, but I can't remember why there was. I think it was away on holiday or something. But this year I was able to do that, and that was great fun. I managed to talk a few of my other bowling volunteers into it.
Was that talk inverted commas there? Derivative?
No, I just explained what I was doing, and before you knew it, they were like, oh, well, I can swim. I haven't done it for a while. And like, well, you know, it might be fun to get back in the pool. And
good.
Yeah, we've got at least another two people in. And just, you know, just getting back into doing something I always used to enjoy doing, but you always find a reason not to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's cold.
Yeah.
Or I'll just stay inside and have a cup of tea. But no, that was really good fun.
So it was getting back into regular exercise for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which leads us on to the running. So you're talking about doing a marathon, I believe. Have you done much running before?
Bits and pieces. So, like a lot of people, I had to do physical education at school. Wasn't very good at it. I'm quite tall, I'm 6'4", but I'm not very coordinated. And I've worn glasses since I was seven. So hand-eye coordination just isn't me.
Yeah.
I was terrible at football.
Okay.
Never understood the offside rule.
Were you the last one to be picked?
No, not quite.
Oh, you goalkeeper.
No, I was played in defence, but I was terrible. I didn't understand the offside rule. So, and they didn't really explain anything to you at school. So I got fed up of being freezing cold and stood around doing nothing and getting shouted at for letting goals in. So I did the alternative cross-country running. And the incentive was, the quicker you ran, the quicker you got back to the showers, you got warmed up, and it was the last lesson. So the quicker you ran, the quicker you got home.
I remember
those
days.
The quicker you got your tea. And then I didn't really do anything after school. I was quite lucky that I don't carry a lot of weight naturally. So anytime I wanted to do anything like ski trips, and then I started getting into scuba diving and things, I winged it and I got away with it. But then when I was starting to get into my 40s, and you know, nature catches up with you, and you start to see the people who are maybe just a little bit older with you starting to creak and hips going and knees going, I was like, yeah, I think I need to do something. And I started then getting migraines and tinnitus.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, I need to do something to get myself actually fit.
Yeah.
And so I started doing a bit of running on my own, only like half an hour, 3 miles sort of thing, playing around with it a bit, and that was fine. But then Sarah and my sister, Fiona, both suggested the park run.
Okay.
Which they both had started to have a dabble with. So for those of you who don't know what it's about, it's an international organisation, but it was created in the UK. And basically you go to somewhere local, it tends to be a park, and you try and walk or run or a combination of the two.
Yes, it's all levels.
All levels. Yeah. And actually, they are trying to really attract, you know, people who aren't active in there. It's not for the elite runners. You'll hear people who've got PBs of 15 minutes and ridiculous things like that. That's not what it's for. It's just to get people out and doing stuff. And, yeah, and then if you go off and find other things, brilliant. But yeah, if you're just out and being active and be social, fantastic.
Yeah,
it's free to come along. You just got to register a membership so you can just track your times.
And it's all organised, isn't it, that as well?
It's all run by volunteers. So the local one in Macclesfield is run in South Park. Basically, you do 3 laps of South Park.
Yeah.
And so that's anywhere between, it's about half an hour if you run it in and about there. And we have lots of people who walk it, and it's about an hour.
And presumably all of that's good for your physical health, but also your mental health and well-being.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, actually, when I was working, just getting my lazy backside out on a Saturday morning, getting up and getting going, and then enjoying the rest of the weekend rather than going, oh, I've had a really hard week. Oh, I'll just have a lie-in before you know it. It's midday and you've not done anything.
Yeah.
It was great.
And it's probably encouraged now by health organisations and...
Yeah, but it's actually down now as a prescribed item by doctors.
Right.
And again, I think there weren't many positives coming out of the lockdowns and things, but I think a lot of people rediscovered the public spaces that were around them and the facilities that were in them as well.
Yeah. So how did things progress from doing that to taking things a bit further in terms of your running objectives?
So I was doing the parkrun. I got as quick as I was ever going to get. We were doing tourist parkrun. So if you go away on holiday, do whatever local parkrun there.
Yeah.
It's a bit different. Again, a bit like the bowling. You see people doing it in different ways. But that was interesting. But it was like, right, okay. But Macclesfield's 80% of my time. Need to stretch myself. So I ended up signing myself up to the Manchester Half Marathon.
Okay.
Manchester being my hometown. And I really enjoyed the training because it had to take you from doing 3 miles up to 13.1 miles. And that was quite good. And I found that quite good for my head.
It's quite a big increase.
Yeah, but you do it very gradually. You increase it by no more than 10% a week. So you're just gradually stretching it and just getting outdoors.
So you said that was about 2019. So did it get affected by COVID then, your plans?
Looking back on it now, yes, because then in 2020, the Manchester Marathon then got cancelled. But they'd obviously prepared for it all. So they had bought all the medals, got all the shirts in, and obviously spent quite a bit of money on it and then, cancelled. So what they did was they turned that into a virtual event. So you paid your entrance fee, you got your medal, you got your T-shirt, but you actually did it virtually over a month. So you could run it as a marathon if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But me and Sarah, we did it together and we just did it over the month, running 3 miles every other day.
By virtually, it was out on the street. It wasn't in your back garden or anything.
You could do it wherever you wanted to do it and you could record it on any device, or at the end of the day, they would send you the medal anyway. So
that's a great idea, that, isn't it?
Yeah. And then that sort of led, coming out of the lockdowns, me, Sarah, and a good friend of ours, Susan, we'd all had experiences of living with people with dementia. So in our case, Sarah's mum. And so we did a marathon distance walk in the Lake District. So we walked around Lake Ullswater.
Okay.
And we thought, this is going to be great. It's in August. So we did all our long walks in May, June, July, and the weather's getting better and better and drier. And then it got to August and it just lashed it down for a week leading up to it and on the day of it as well. So it was a bit of an ordeal in the end, but we did it. And we raised quite a bit of money and profile for it, so we were chuffed with that.
You can't rely on the weather these days, Sean. So have you taken that then and turned it into longer organised runs?
2022 is when I retired. I've got a cousin, Ian, that lives up in Newcastle upon Tyne, and he's always been doing the Great North Run. He's done it at least 10 times, but he's an absolute whipper. He can do it like in an hour and 30 minutes. And I'm struggling to do the Manchester one in 2 hours. Yeah. And the Manchester one is absolutely flat as a pancake. And the Great North Run, as I found, is pretty much uphill the whole way. So I phoned him up and said, great, Ian, I've entered. I'm going to do it. He went, I'm on holiday. So you're on your own. But that turned into a great day because I was there with my uncle and my aunt and Sarah and some other friends. But it was baking. I think it was like the beginning of September. And I'm thinking the northeast. September, it would be cool.
Yeah.
It was 25 degrees and you stood on a road for an hour waiting for them to go, ready, steady, go, sweating cobs. And it didn't stop. So, you know, there were 60,000 runners. So I think it's the biggest run, you know, in terms of numbers of people coming along. And then, but all the Geordies had their garden hose pipes out, literally just spraying us as we went past. It was scorching. And then when we got to the end, the Red Arrows did a display for about 30 minutes and you're sort of down by the beach. Absolutely fantastic. So you're looking out over the sea and then the heavens opened and it absolutely battered it down with rain, hail. So the metro, that got flooded for an hour. The ferries got stopped for an hour. So we went off for fish and chips and a beer. So it was, so it was
that,
a great
that
day.
Made everything worthwhile.
Though. Absolutely.
So from all of that, why am I opening in 2025?
Well, all the time I'd been having an itch of, yeah, well, if you could do a half, and bearing in mind I've only done two halves, but I was like, well, a half plus a half is a marathon. So,
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So why not push yourself to do it? So I had actually been secretly entering the London ballot for years. So you just email in and go, yeah, can I have a place? And then every summer they come back and go, no, there's too many people.
Yeah.
And I'd worked out this was the best year between all the other commitments that Sarah gives me to do over a year. I was like, this is the year where I can actually sensibly fit in 6 to 7 months of training. So I went, right, well, I'm in the ballot for London, but I'm going to get a place in Manchester anyway.
Yeah.
London, I didn't get a ballot, so I'm running Manchester.
Doing the Manchester one.
And then to me, it was just obvious, who am I going to support as a charitable cause? It's got to be East Cheshire Eye Society. And then it was at the Volunteers Day. And then you started explaining to me it's the 150th anniversary. It's just like, wow, this is such
all
a fit.
Falling into place.
It's like, someone would have thought it was a cunning plan, but it weren't. It's just the way it worked out.
Oh, no, we really do appreciate that. And in terms of your training for this, because it's, you know, it's a big run, where are you up to at the moment?
So I've just started running again because I did manage to get a quad strained about 3 months ago. So I've just started running again. And the program I've got is also doing some swimming. So I started that again last week and doing some cycling and just a bit of yoga and Pilates and just all over, just getting all of me fit. So you might see me out there plodding down the Middlewood Way,
yeah,
or in the Macclesfield Sports Centre. But yeah, I'm out there, and Sarah's kindly taken on the duties of getting my diet right.
Okay, that would be a challenge, presumably.
Well, it is, because I do like a cake and I do like ice cream, and okay, I don't really understand why you need anything else. But I've been told that I do.
Yeah.
And sort of related to that, Craig and Jenna from bowling have kindly agreed to hide all the biscuits away from me. What that means is they're building up a stash of biscuits, and I know when I get over that finish line, they're all going to get thrown back at me.
Okay. And are people giving you advice on how to do the marathon?
Yeah, so Steve from bowling, who I've got to know over the years, turns out Steve had done 10 marathons himself.
Oh, wow.
In his 20s, I believe. I'm thinking, I wish I'd done this in my 20s now. But yeah, no, he's given me a lot of tips and a lot of encouragement of, you know, if you want to do it, you just make it happen.
Yeah.
It comes down to just preparation, preparation, preparation.
Yeah.
And then obviously, Alan, you know, I'm handing over publicity
okay,
to you.
Okay.
Yeah. But I seem to be doing all the talking today.
Well, you know, it's better that way, isn't it? But yeah, we'll certainly help with publicity and make sure that we can get as many people to know about it as possible. What are you trying to achieve for it? Have you got any targets or objectives?
The one for me is probably to stay sane. Hopefully, Sarah, to stay sane, get the marathon done in one piece. I haven't got a time and focus on it, just getting round and just enjoying the experience of getting there,
yeah,
getting through it, and then the recovery and a pint of beer.
The fish and chips again.
Quite possibly.
and persuading people to...
And obviously, hopefully, I do want to get some money raised for East Cheshire Eye Society.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, related to that as well is just... You know, like I didn't know anything about East Cheshire Eye Society, so if there's anything we can do just to raise the profile,
yeah,
about what it does, because it is fantastic, and if we could pick up another few volunteers along the way, that would be even better as well.
Yeah, I mean, everything we do as a charity, we do with the support of volunteers, and we always say, and we do mean it every time, that we couldn't do much of what we do without the volunteers, so it makes all the difference to us. So, I mean, not just for your volunteering, but also for taking on this huge challenge of running a marathon to raise awareness and raise funds for us. I just thank you now. I'll thank you again afterwards, but I'll thank you now for the time and the effort that you're putting into it and the thought of it. And, you know, it makes a difference to us to have individual people or groups of people take the time and effort to support us. So we really appreciate it. And we wish you good luck. We look forward to hearing how you get on along the way. And we will be there to cheer you on and buy you some fish and chips at the end of it.
Excellent. I'll hold you to that. And if there's anybody else out there wanting to do anything, if you can just sort of like get in touch with Helen or Alan and see if we can raise a bit more cash through any other mad schemes that people have got.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for your time today, Sean. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for yours, Alan.
The link to Sean's fundraising page can be found on the East Cheshire Eye Society website, www.eastcheshireeyesociety.org.uk. If you hit the donate button on the homepage, it will take you to the current fundraising. There you can find Sean's marathon page.